In our latest Q's Parting Shots, we talk to Mike Mastro, President and CEO of Firefighter First Credit Union. Check it out. Welcome to our show, and on today's program, we have Mr. Mike Mastro from Firefighters First Credit Union up in Los Angeles. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Good, good. Hey, welcome to the show, and congratulations on an amazing career. We've been talking to some great CEOs lately, and you are certainly amongst them, and just congratulations. How does it feel to kind of, I guess, exhale now, for lack of better terminology, to kind of it's been a career.
We're in the process of exhaling is what we're doing now. And you know what? I'm looking ahead, and I'm looking forward, and I'm anxious. It's going to be great. I've really enjoyed my career at Firefighters First Credit. Love working with our firefighters. Great group of people. But I am looking forward to a less structured environment. And a lot of folks are kind of fearful of that. And I've got a little trepidation about that. But we have so many interests, my wife and I, and so many interests together. We're really looking forward to exploring those things, doing some travel, and having a great time. But
good deal. Yeah, that sounds. I mean, I'm excited for you. But what everybody, what these CEOs who are now moving on to the next chapter of their lives and traveling and spending time with family and stuff, you guys have really set the tone for our industry. You set us on a really solid foundation. We got through that whole recession thing, which was a bear, but we got out of that. We're coming out with flying colors, it sounds like. And how do you see the industry right now? Obviously we're kind of on an upswing as far as membership goes, and lending is really good right now. Where do you see it right now?
You know what? I think things are going very well. I think delinquency ratios are down. Growth is happening in the industry. Loans are getting out there. I think there's a lot of very good things. But I continue to think and worry about fintech, about Uberization, about those things that may come in from the left or the right that can really impact our model. So I'm optimistic. I'm a glass half full kind of a guy. But I always worry about those pieces that have been so impactful to other industries.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Because, you don't want to become like a Blockbuster or a Tower Records or something like that to be what they're calling today Uberization, So just got to be careful of that.
You bet. You bet.
Yeah, it sounds like credit unions are still nimble enough to move in a direction that can keep them out of the headlines in that area, it seems like.
They are, and they can be, and I've always thought that we need to run safe and sound institutions, but we can't run the institutions only for the regulators, only for the CAMEL reports.
Right.
We have to have flexibility, we have to have energy, we have to have creativity and innovativeness to really move through this next piece of economic expansion, because it's going to be the nimble, I think, that really are able to survive and thrive.
I agree. I totally agree with you. Let's get back to you now. What's the difference between you when you first started in this business and the you who you are now? If you can follow that question, that line of question.
I can, and it's a good question. And I've been thinking about that, actually. And when I came... when I became CEO, I was very different. I was very rules-based. I was very numbers-based. It was all about net income. It was all about operating efficiency. It was all of those kind of process focus. Those are good things. We have to do those things.
Right.
But what I didn't deeply understand and should have is that this is a people business. And at the end of the day, we have to connect up with people. We have to have leadership skills, not just management skills. We have to really have a tolerance of ambiguity. All of those things was a learning lesson for me. I really had to learn. I didn't know what I had to learn when I first started, and I changed very dramatically based upon a lot of that.
And so today you're very people oriented, very relationship based, all that type of stuff. And
much more so. I think you all retain your same basic personality. Still love numbers. I still love my sales script. But at the end of the day, I'm very connected with people. You have to be as a CEO. We have boards of directors, and you don't just connect with them on the numbers and all those. You connect with them on a personal basis, at least in our community. It's important. And then you connect up with your business partners, your vendors, your employees. So being able to do that and actually enjoy that, and get energy from those interactions, that's how I've changed very, very significantly.
That sounds like a recipe for success right there. So which you guys are experiencing right now. So, and if you could write a brief description of this job, kind of like a help wanted in the classifieds, if the classifieds ever even exist anymore, but what skills and experience do you need for it? What would you say? It's kind of a message for incoming credit union leaders.
You know what? It starts with optimism. Again, I think you have to be optimistic relative to the fact that so many things are coming our way. There are challenges. You know, we're gonna have issues, problems to deal with. So you got to be optimistic, and you got to be optimistic for the people around you.
Yep.
And I think that's really, really important. And that's why I'm a glass half full kind of a guy. I really need that. You know, emotional intelligence. We hear that a lot.
Okay.
But even sustainable emotional intelligence. We have to be willing to listen deeply and hear those and see those various issues that people share with us that we need to take to heart and be very attuned to. So listening skills, leadership versus managing, which I may have mentioned before, flexibility, creativity, innovativeness. I think to have a CEO that only is a numbers-oriented CEO or only a marketing-oriented CEO, I think we will have a disservice into the future.
Yep.
I think CEO's got to be very innovative and creative in terms of what's coming at us as well. Also, tolerance for ambiguity. That's a bit of a phrase. You know, this job is not cookie cutter. We don't have problems that most of our problems and opportunities and challenges, it requires us to have the ability to be flexible with those issues. And I think a deep tolerance for the ambiguity of the job is quite important.
Okay.
You know what I would add, and I don't know how you test for it, but courageousness.
Oh.
I think, quite frankly, again, in the world that we are, and I know in the strategic work that we've done as an organization, you know, we all create strategic plans, but at the end of the day, you have to have the courage to execute through those strategic plans because you know when it's really strategic, typically there's pain involved.
And yeah.
And that pain could be moving your members through these processes.
Mm-hmm.
So I would truly believe that courage to be able to execute through that is important.
Are you talking like taking a little bit of a risk here and there, kind of a calculated risk? Or
absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. You know, we did a couple of things. We did a name change in a very conservative credit union, a firefighter credit union.
Mm-hmm.
We changed our name. We knew that our members were so aligned, a large group of our members were so aligned with that name that they would react, and they did. But we were prepared for it. We knew it. The board was prepared for it.
Awesome.
And we executed even knowing that.
Mm-hmm.
And result has been growth and good moving forward.
Did anything surprise you about this job?
You know, I really didn't know how much it was going to change me.
Oh.
Personally and professionally. As I said, you know, I was a numbers person when this whole thing began, and I had to develop some unique and new skill sets.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to be successful for myself, for the organization, for my employees, for the board. And so that was one of the biggest surprises, okay, how much I would have to change.
Okay. Very cool. What are you going to miss the most about your position?
You know, it's always the people. It comes back to people. I get a lot of energy from the people I work with, my board, great board of directors, fun-loving board of directors, as you can imagine with firefighters. I'm going to miss that enormously. I'll miss working with my team, my executive team. We just have a good time together, but we do great work, and that's the fun part of it. So I'll miss that. I'll miss kind of the creativity I've been able to bring to building businesses and those kinds of opportunities. So I'll take some of those skills with me in a different manner,
okay,
but yeah. I'll miss some of that, sure.
Hey, how important are mentors, or how important have they been to you? I mean, because obviously people going up through the ranks and stuff, or have people kind of teaching them, showing the ropes and stuff. How has a mentor helped you over the years?
Quite a bit, actually. When I think of mentors, it's people who were very focused on showing me the way. Mm-hmm. And there are folks who I just learned from by following and seeing what they did. Yeah. So for the sake of argument, the former CEO of this credit union was called general manager back there 36 years ago when I first. Yeah. Dora Zuckerman was the general manager, and she was very much a people person. And I wasn't, certainly at the time. And she really taught me the value of the interaction, the positive interaction between people, what the value was relative to that, mm-hmm. and our firefighter member culture. That was invaluable to me. It was very, very helpful. The other important mentor in my life really was my father.
Oh,
it's not that he told me what to do and how to do it,
yeah.
but here's a guy who served in the Navy, and then he was an upholsterer, a furniture upholsterer. I worked for somebody for a number of years because he had to create a good sustainable job for the family and the income. And then he built his own business. He went out on his own, created his own business. And then he had, they sold furniture, they sold decorating jobs, they did all that kind of stuff, and they did upholstery as well. But here's a guy who became very successful, who worked 6 days a week, a couple of nights a week in addition to that, and he never told me that's what I needed to do, but I saw that.
I realized
that was important. And even in that high level of work, he was a very, very good father and very focused on the family. You learn those things.
Coming off the Super Bowl and I was watching a lot of interviews with like the younger quarterbacks and the interviewers would always ask them like, how do you prepare? What do you look for? And almost all of them would say, yeah, I look to Peyton Manning. I look to Tom Brady. I look to, this quarterback or that quarter, just looking at how they prepare for games and what they do and that type of stuff. And that's what kind of gets me talking about the whole mentorship. Cause I think it's so important to see, not only just to talk to the people, but to see what they do. The actions really speak louder than the words in that case. So it sounds like the same thing with you as well.
They really do. Very, very, very impactful.
Indeed. All right. To wrap up here, Mike, because I know you got a busy day ahead of you here. Any advice for future credit union leaders coming into various positions throughout the industry today? Because it's a moving target like never before today. It's especially technology regulations, like all the stuff that you talked about that keep you awake at night.
Sure.
So
sure.
What advice do you have for those folks?
Sure. Well, first of all, I wish them well. Because the world ahead is not the world that I came into. It's a very different world today. And, we talked about the Uberization of fintech pieces. But, obviously be prepared to work hard, but don't let it negatively impact your personal and family life. That's balance is important. And I realize sometimes we have to expend more on the work side, but at the end of the day, it shouldn't be impactful negatively to your family. Make striving for opportunity your middle name. I think opportunity, of course, is all around us. So I would recommend that new folks into the industry, folks who want to be leaders, take advantage of any opportunity you have to learn and grow within the organization and outside the organization. Volunteer for jobs other folks don't want to do. I always say that people around you know what level of work you do and what level of productivity and success you already bring to the table. We all know who the winners and losers are in organizations based upon how they move and how they work and what they volunteer to do and how they move fluidly from job to job to take many opportunities around. High moral, high ethical standards. That's a must if you're going to move into leadership, and certainly if you become CEO.
Yeah.
You must have the trust of your board and those pieces to the puzzle. Realize that people are important, and always listen deeply to what other folks have to say, and come from a position of servant leadership. I think there's value to that.
Yeah, no doubt.
And, I don't think it's hokey. I think if you come from a position of realizing you're not the smartest person in the room, that there's a bunch of smart people that we can rely on.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great, quite helpful. Help others succeed. I think that's crucial and important, and it speaks to your heart and soul. And at the end of the day, have fun. I'm into the process. This is a fun industry.
Yeah, it is.
People really enjoy each other. I have a great time, as I said, with my board and our executive team and our staff. We're always laughing, always enjoying, always kidding with each other. It's good stuff. I would recommend that future leaders have that as part of their skill set.
I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, we're doing this job, you know, 8 hours a day, sometimes more, you know, and then thinking about a day. I mean, so there's got to be that fun factor there, you know, because if it's grueling and just monotonous and awful all the time, you're either going to burn out or, I don't know, who knows, fly to Mars and look for something different. You know, it's just I think fun is such an important aspect of it. It's not like, you know, 24/7 having fun, but, you know, you got to have some levity, you know, to
absolutely. Absolutely, we're human beings, right?
Exactly.
And I think we work well in environments where there's safety, and that safety is often expressed by the fact that you can have humor in the office. Mm-hmm. In offices where there's fear, you're not going to have fun.
True.
So that's important to us. That's very important.
Very cool. Well, Mike, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to chat with us. We appreciate it. And again, thank you for your years of service to this industry. The foundation that you and your fellow CEOs have set for our industry is really second to none. So thank you very much for that. And have fun in the next chapter of your life. It sounds like you're going to have a blast.
I call it happy, wild, and free. So we're going to have a great time.
All right. Thanks again, Mike. Appreciate the time.
All right.